all has to be in order. Nick was trying to be a gentleman, but he forgot I have to stay up here for a while. Good morning. To know the warmth of love, to have the assurance that someone cares, to be confident of our worth, to be bold to love in return, to be washed over with grace, to be accepted as we are. This is to know a bit of God. Then let us worship our God. Friends, we gather this day to celebrate the life we have been given by God, the life we share with one another in community, the life that Jesus gives in abundance. Let us be grateful for the joy of life, and let us worship God. Welcome this day to the house of our God. We are greeted in peace and in love. Welcome this day to the worship of our Creator. We worship in hope and with grace. Welcome this day to our community of faith, where we are sisters and brothers in Christ. Friends, let us worship God. Would you open up your hymnals to number 16, and that will be the Brown Hymnal. And since the quartet or the trio is singing a little, you only get to sing twice today. So let's stand and sing heartily. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. So welcome this morning to everyone here. Are there any guests who would like to be introduced? Well, then I'll just say a couple of things as far as, not really guests, but it's nice to hear Peter at the organ. We don't get that treat very often anymore. And as you're used to seeing us as a quartet, sometimes we call ourselves a five-tet because we've had the pleasure of having two altos. And Linda, well, just the voice doesn't want to sing with us anymore. Not that her heart doesn't want to. And I know that happens to all of us. And in the back, there's Howard, who, as you know, I announced he had surgery, so his throat isn't working at the moment, but we're hopeful that it will. Right, Howard? Yes. Let's see what Christmas gift we might have. Okay. Take a moment and introduce yourselves to your neighbors or just shake hands. I saw Ferdy do that this morning already. He's greeted half the church. Say hi to everyone and welcome one another this morning.
one globally.
What's that? Thank you. That's wonderful to hear such a nice buzz of everyone greeting one another to be together in the community this morning. Now I'm going to call up the children for a children's story. Good morning. I don't have any pictures for you this morning, but I bet you've all heard this story before. And the Bible story today that we're going to hear in church upstairs as adults is all about two brothers. They live on a big farm with their dad and lots of servants who do all the work. Wouldn't that be nice if we had a servant and we didn't have to make our beds and do dishes and all that stuff? They have a really good life. But one day, the younger brother asked his dad to give him his inheritance. Inheritance means money. Now, a few days after the younger brother had received a lot of money from his dad, he decided to take that money and travel far away. He wanted to have lots of fun, and he spent all his money on doing things that weren't always nice. And soon, he had wasted all the money his dad had worked so hard for. Soon he also had no money for food or even a place to stay, so he begged a man for a job. The brother had to work in the fields feeding pigs, a terrible, terrible job he had never done before. I don't know about you, but that's not a job I want to have. I'm okay with washing floors and cleaning house, but not feeding pigs. The brother was so hungry, he would have eaten the food that the pigs had, but nobody gave him any food. The younger brother began to think of his dad and his older brother and the good life he had when he was with him. There he would have food and a nice bed to sleep in. So he decided to go home. He felt very sad about what he had done, how he had hurt his dad with his bad behavior. He knew he had sinned. When his dad saw him coming down the road, he ran to meet him. He hugged him. His dad was so happy to see him. Kind of like maybe when you come back from a sleepover or your mom and dad have been away and you're so happy to see one another. The dad asked the servants to make a big meal. They invited guests and they had a big party to celebrate the return of the youngest son. He thought the son was dead, but he was alive. He thought he was lost, but he was found. But the older brother, who had stayed home and worked hard on the farm without his brother, was not happy with his dad that he was having a big party for his brother, and he was angry with his dad and could not forgive his brother or his dad. Maybe we feel that sometimes we do more chores than our other brother or sister, and we get a little annoyed too, don't we? When we do wrong, we need to ask for forgiveness. Say that we are sorry. God is always happy when we come back to him. Jesus loves us, and he will welcome us just like the son was welcomed back home by his father. We say a small prayer. Dear God, help us be kind and do good. And when we do wrong, help us to say we are sorry and love each other as God loves us. Amen.
Sunset at evening, the wondrous sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. There's the wonder of springtime and harvest, the sky, the stars, the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul that's only begun. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me.
Into our announcements, there's always lots to read. Just a couple of things to highlight. Number one and number two, Kaios and Ashley have had successful surgeries, and if anybody else has a more recent update, okay, then a thank you from Franz and Gary. And not only do we hope that they're going to be participating from the pews, but that once in a while we'll still have you appear. And maybe you could worship lead too. I never realized that this was the hardest part of the job. I told Brian he had the easy one today. All he had to do was speak. Not really fair. Takes, I'm sure, a long enough time. Number four, a ladies get together. That's for tomorrow evening. And number five, parent and child dedication. Please contact Pastor Marv. And number six, the clothing fair. So make sure that if you've got some things that you want to bring into church, do that very soon. It's amazing how quickly November will arrive. And number seven, Westgate Mennonite Collegiate, a big grand opening or a way to be able to see their new building. And please make sure that you read through everything else. There's always lots there to look at. And before we go into any of the sharing time for everyone, I'm going to ask Pastor Marv to come up. He's going to give us a brief report from the General Assembly for Mennonite Church Canada he attended last week.
I thought it made sense, since I was our church's, well, in a sense, only delegate at the MC Canada Assembly, that I tell you about it, that I report to you about what I did on in our behalf while there. Actually, Tim and Stephanie Wenger attended officially as our delegates as well. That had been put into motion while they were still here, and Tim was a part of the Emerging Voices initiative, perhaps they both were. In any case, they were there, but I will report to you sort of what I think you should know about. Before that, let me just say a few other things. We've made a beginning with me as your pastor, and I think it's been all right, and some of you have said you think it's been all right. Nobody said that they didn't think it was all right, so that's good. One of the things, of course, that Cheryl and I are grappling with is remembering people, trying to remember names. And is this a product? I know you think many of you think I'm young, but I'm not. Is it a product of that age that sometimes I'll ask for somebody's name and within seconds I've forgotten that name already? That's horrible. But it is the case. So we need to keep on greeting you and talking with you and hearing your names, and hopefully you don't find that too awkward, or, you know, that you're not too judgmental about me not remembering names. I think I'm not bad, but so one of the things that would help, and I'm really grateful that Cheryl, although she works full time, has adopted this place and learning to know you with enthusiasm. And we would be very happy to do some visiting together. So, I mean, it could be us calling you, but probably there's something better about you calling us and making an invitation. So there's an invitation to you to make an invitation to us. We'll be quite receptive. Okay. Back to the report on the assembly. In the 2016 summer Mennonite Church Canada Assembly in Saskatoon, there were a couple of major items under discussion, and one was a report from a Future Directions Task Force. And that report set in motion a process of restructuring the way we work as a denomination. I think that was done primarily in response to declining revenues. There wasn't enough money to keep going the way we were going. And so, out of that task force, a new structural idea has been worked through. The basis of which is that it is the local congregation to which people feel more compelled to give financially. It is the area church, what we call Mennonite Church Manitoba, that is closer to people's hearts than Mennonite Church Canada. And so to reduce the role of Mennonite Church Canada and increase the role of Mennonite Church Manitoba or Eastern Canada or Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC, will improve the health of the denomination, perhaps encourage a little greater funding. That's what's behind what happened. And so Friday night, a week ago and a bit, and Saturday all day and evening, we delegates sat at the same table groups where we had discussions on the topics, where we ate together for the most part, and where we worshiped together. We analyzed the new proposals. We had warm worship times. There were some very good times together. And those worship times included stories of God at work in the congregations around the country. They were good. And in the end, we approved the proposals in principle for new ways of working together. Not everything has been mapped out. The larger framework has been adopted and agreed to. And so quite a bit will be shifted from the national church to the regional churches. So this will become the body, Mennonite Church Manitoba, where agenda for Mennonite Church Canada will be decided. All our funding commitments will go to Mennonite Church Canada. I'm sorry. Where before we put in our budget line some for Mennonite Church Canada and some for Mennonite Church Manitoba, now it will all be to Mennonite Church Manitoba. And then there will be an agreed upon and guaranteed formula moving on to Mennonite Church Canada. I think that word guaranteed frightened some of us a little bit. So fundraising will be done more by the regional church than by the national church. Even our overseas witness workers will probably become more involved in fundraising and more direct relationships between witness workers and individual congregations will be encouraged. Partnerships where we specifically say our giving is going to this worker's support. Now, as a result of all that, Mennonite Church Canada's budget is being reduced from about $3 million to $2 million next year. You can hear that means something pretty significant for programming. And that figure was arrived at by calculating how much area churches, Mennonite Church Canada and others, received in this last year, how much they expected their programming to cost, and then moving the remainder to Mennonite Church Canada. And so then they adjusted their ideas about program based on that. So there are a few implications and I think prayer concerns. There's a bigger role for regional churches. So that means that our Mennonite Church Manitoba staff will have a little broader sense of responsibility for the ideas that come out of our congregations and need to be processed at a national level. New ideas and vision will come from individual congregations to regional gatherings. So our Mennonite Church Manitoba annual meetings will be more the place where the new ideas and the work of the church occurs than at a Mennonite Church Canada assembly. The delegate body will be reduced dramatically to a Mennonite Church Canada assembly. So I think prayer for regional staff is an important thing here. And the other thing that has really impacted people is that many jobs at Mennonite Church Canada have been lost. On Monday, the staff at Mennonite Church Canada all had interviews with Willard Metzger, the executive director. And we received some information about what had happened during the course of the week. So quite a few workers for Mennonite Church Canada lost their jobs this week. And I think those are people that we want to hold in prayer. We trust that they will land all right. But it has an impact, this whole process. So that's my report. Not entirely brief, but it's done.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to share? We have the mic up here.
Okay. Hi, my name is Linda Titterton. I just want to share that when we went to Edmonton, Dale's dad is doing super duper well. He had a here I'm using medical terms. James, if I screw up, just you can clear it up. He had a TAVI done that. He had the valve on his aortic valve replaced. And during that procedure, a heart block happened where the electricity from the top of the heart to the bottom stopped communicating. So he had a pacemaker put in, and all is well. And then I also want to say that some of you know the Pigeon Lake group, and my girlfriend Carla, her mom passed away yesterday, Lisa Becker.
I have been asked to just kind of bring you up to date on Tracy. Tracy's my daughter, for those of you who don't know, and who sustained an injury and had surgery in the U.S. In May. She is slowly getting better and really, really appreciates your prayers and your support, your cards, your gifts, and your phone calls. You know, she knows that you have been a huge support to her and to me as well. And I wanted to say thank you, too. She is getting better. It's very slow. It's going to take a long time. So just bear with us. Continue to hold us up in prayer, if you would. But just know that she is getting better little by little. So thank you.
Now I'm going to read from here. And I also went to see, this is about Hilde Wiens, and this comes from Betty Jansen. I know that Pastor Marv was also there, and I went to see her this week in the hospital, but she was definitely asleep and not responsive at the time. Just to let you know that we were to see Hilde this afternoon. Her sister Margaret has come from Ontario and is keeping her company. They had a family conference this morning, and the decision has been made to discontinue all meds and IV fluids and give her oxygen and painkillers only. There has been a lot of fluid buildup in her lungs, making breathing difficult. She is under heavy sedation and finds it difficult to focus on any conversation, but seemed most concerned about consoling her sister. And I know that she is at Health Sciences Center, and please keep her in your prayers.
Please bow for a prayer. For the healing of the nations, Lord, we pray with one accord, for a just and equal sharing of the things that earth affords. To a life of love in action, help us rise and pledge our word. Lead your people into freedom from despair, your world release, that redeemed from war and hatred, all may come and go in peace. Show us how, through care and goodness, fear will die and hope increase. All that kills abundant living, let it from the earth be banned. Pride of status, race, or schooling, dogmas that obscure your plan. In our common quest for justice, may we hallow life's brief span. You, Creator God, have written your great name in humankind. For our growing in your likeness, bring the life of Christ to mind, that by our response and service, earth its destiny may find. Lord, we come with joys, sorrows, burdens, with love and so many emotions. We come here to worship, to seek comfort and solace from our disappointments, from our unrealized dreams, from a future we feel uncertain of, from health issues and a longing for loved ones who are no longer here to share our lives on earth. For this we ask you to fill our hearts with hope, healing, and strength. Lord, we come with grateful hearts for all the blessings in our lives, for this beautiful fall season, for harvest, our homes, our families, our friends, and our church. Help us be mindful of a world living in chaos, hurt, despair, hunger, war, hatred, and intolerance. Help us live in love and compassion for all humankind. God, you created us and you commanded us to love regardless of our differences. Be with our congregation, not just those of us here, but all who are not here, who are home ill, who are in hospital, in personal care homes, who live near or far. You know their names. They are written in your heart as they are in ours. Be with us this morning as we worship and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the offering music, the trio will sing.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son.
The scripture reading this morning is Luke 15:25-31. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what this meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Lo, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a calf that I might make merry with my friends. But when the son of yours came, who has devoured your living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. Brian.
Good morning.
It has been a while since I have spoken to you from here, so you may have to bear with me. I may make a few mistakes, so let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, be with us this morning. You have been good to us. Help us to focus on you and your word. Open our hearts and minds to you. Amen. I'm going to get a little bit of business out of the way first of all. I got to thank Ingo and the whole crew who does the sound and who also does put this message on the internet. When Linda's mom went into the hospital for the surgery, my mom knew about it before I told her. She listens to our sermons on Monday mornings. So, and that's online. Yeah. She's 91 years old. 5 years ago, we got her an iPad, and it's one of the best things we ever did for her. She is quite tactful with that thing. She plays with it all the time, and she talks with her grandkids and all that stuff. So, hi, Mom. Now, this message that I have this morning about the other son has been on a journey for a while. About 4 years ago, the weight of the world seemed to be on my shoulders. Sorry. And Gary had a message about the prodigal son. And all I could think of during that time was, what about the other son? This prodigal son, he's getting a little bit too much press time. There's too much focus being played on this guy that sins big. And yet, what about us who are left behind? So I mentioned this to Gary, and he said, yeah, you're going to have to speak on that. So this message has been on a journey, along with myself, and it's been a 4-year journey. Now, I had this sermon in my head, and every time, every week, every day would kind of get rewritten and written again. And then when I came time to sit down and write this message, I had trouble. There was so much, so many revisions, so many thoughts, and to take it from putting it up in your mind to on paper was difficult. But here, let's go. Jesus told a story. He told a story about a father and two sons. Now, in this story, there are three characters. And this could be any family. It could be my family. It could be your family. Now, in each family, if you have a family discussion and you talk about something, everyone hears their own thing. The same words are spoken, but yet we all don't understand it the same. We perceive it differently. When Linda and I went to Africa a few years back for the first time, we've been there twice, so it was great. But all I could remember or think about, what would Africa be like? I had no idea. We Googled it. We saw stuff on TV. We saw stuff in the papers. And I remember, as a child, Sunday nights, a big event would come up in church. A missionary from Africa was coming. And they would come and talk to us and show us pictures of them living in huts, in poor poverty, in on and on, and how rough their life was. And yet I didn't really have any perception of what it was to go to Africa. So we went to Africa and we camped. Yes, we tented in Africa for 20 days. Traveled through 4 different countries. And you know what? My perspective of Africa was blown out of the water. I did not realize that Africa is what Africa is. What I see as Africa, you probably wouldn't see the same thing. But Africa, the people were not on subsistence farming like we think they are. Not in East Africa. They grow 3 crops a year. They have enough food that they can sell it by the wayside. It was amazing how many times we saw a tanker truck go by us on a highway, and on the top, they had stopped by the side of the road and bought a bundle of bananas and threw it on the top so they could take it home. We visited cities of 3 million people. All the amenities were there. And going through the countryside, how many of the people had cell phones? In Africa, the houses were being built out of brick, which they made themselves, but still they had houses that were permanent, not on the move all the time. The whole perspective of Africa was not what I expected. And they kept telling us, National Geographic has done us misjustice. They've given people the wrong impression of Africa. You need to be here on the ground with us to understand what Africa is all about. And now this story about the prodigal son. It is a perceptive perception. We have the prodigal son, we have the father, and we have the other son. Now the prodigal son, we know that story quite well. Because in churches we speak about it time and time again. It is something that is very common to us, and as kids we know about the prodigal son. But we tend to forget about the other son. Now the prodigal son, he wanted his share. He wanted to get away from the farm. I was 17 and I wanted to get away from the farm too. But he asked his dad for his inheritance. He wanted what was his now. So he, his dad, as all fathers would, or most fathers would give to their children as much as they possibly could. You do for your kids what you can and what is within your powers. So, son asked, okay, that means I'm going to have to sell off some property. I'm going to have to take and go into my bank and take out money and my savings and my retirement and give it to my son. He does this. And the son, within a couple of days of getting his cash, is gone. He leaves. And he squanders the money. Many ways to do it, but he ended up with nothing. He ended up to the point, is what we call, same as our street people sometimes, living on the streets, nothing to eat, begging for food. She ends up working for a farmer, feeding pigs. I was telling Nick, I know what that's like, feeding pigs. Grew up on the farm, we had about 100 hogs. Wasn't like what he had to do, but it was still feeding pigs. It's a smelly, messy job. But he comes to the realization saying, wait a minute. Now the guys that work for Dad, they don't have to do this. They've got a good living. They eat well, got a place to stay. What am I doing? So he takes off. He goes home. Now there's Dad. I read this story as a father being a father, not God. I read it as him being a father. You, like me, like many of us here. Now, as a father, when your child leaves home or is out or whatever, there is in the back of your mind the thought of, am I going to get that 2 o'clock call? Am I going to have to go out at 2 o'clock in the morning and rescue my child? It's there. And so the father had been waiting for his son to return. Did he favor one son over the other? I don't know. But he waited for his son and looked for his son. And as it says, he saw him from afar. Now, was he sitting on the front porch with his rocking chair waiting for his son? I don't know. But to see him from afar, you got to be looking. You got to be watching. So he goes and he runs out there. He runs out to this other son, to his prodigal son. Now, to have a feast in the evening of that day, you don't just call up the local restaurant and say, hey, listen, I'm going to have a party of 50 people. Can you cater it tonight? Preparation had to happen, and a lot of preparation. The fatted calf had to be killed. The food had to be made. The neighbors had to be invited. All of that stuff. So I can imagine him saying to his servant, okay, you got this and this and this and this you got to do. Get it ready. I'll be back. And he takes off and meets his son. Now the son, he clothes him, puts shoes on his feet, and he puts a ring on his finger. And brings him back, and they begin to celebrate. They have this party. Now we have the older son. He's out in the field. And he's been out there every day since his brother left because he was doing it by himself. Large farm, servants. When Dad separated his wealth away, that would be like us chopping our income in half today. But still having to maintain your family, your house, your car, whatever you have. And that older son had to deal with that. And there were many servants. So he has been working with half the resources and yet making a go of it. And then his other brother comes home, and what do? They celebrate. They throw a big party. They make him again the center of attention. Not right. As an older son, which I'm not, I'm a third son, but as an older son who's had all that responsibility, all of that work that you've done day in, day out for your father, and no appreciation. I can imagine the lashing out. I really can. And I got to be careful that I don't fall into this session, into what the older son feels like. And I think many of us can feel the same way. This older son got all of the privileges. Or the younger son got all the privileges. The older son got all the work. We work. Life dumps stuff on us. Continually dumps stuff on us. You think you're getting ahead. But all of a sudden you find yourself 2 steps back, and then someone else puts something else upon us. If we look at this, now, was this older son right to lash out at his father? Was it okay for him to be angry with his father? Many of us would feel that way. Many of us feel like that a lot of times. Is it right? Who do we get angry with it the most? Think about it. Who do you feel comfortable to lash out at? It's the ones you love. It's the ones that you love. Is it right? No. But we do it. We do lash out. And I know God is there helping us work it through. That's why I don't like the end of the story. It ends there. I'd like to know what happens after. There is no happy ending. Every person in this story has made mistakes. We all know the prodigal son. I don't have to go there. The father, what mistakes did he make? Did he expect things from his oldest son? Did he expect certain behaviors? Did he expect, yeah, he'll do it, don't worry. Not a problem. Or, you know, don't worry about him. He'll go by. He'll manage. Don't worry about telling him that his son is home. That his brother's come back. Let him finish the job first and then he can come home. The father is not totally blameless in this situation either. And we got to remember his fathers and his parents. We make mistakes time and time again. And that's where we need to ask for forgiveness. The father did come out. He left the party. And as a host of a party, you just don't walk out. He came out to beg his son to come in. Like I said, I wish I knew what happened after. There's a lot of lessons in there. The older son. The hurt, the feelings of rejection. Of why could everybody in the community come to this party and be told about this party and be dancing and having a good time and a feast, and no one came out to tell me? I heard it coming down the road. I heard it coming home. But no, you didn't even send a servant out to tell me he had come home. And I worked all day. All these other people stopped what they were doing and they came to the party. The anger, the hurt. Now, I'm watching the clock here. I didn't think I'd have enough stuff here, but I do. Let's take and pull this in a little bit closer to home. We pull it into our own family. We pull it into our family, our church family. This story was meant for the religious leaders of that time. It was for the Pharisees and the scribes, telling them that each person is important. Each person, from the pastor down to the person that walks through that door Sunday morning and sits and leaves before the service is over. Each person in this community of faith, each person that walks into our lives is important. That's what Jesus was saying here. Everyone is important. Now we look at, there's lots of people out there who feel they're on the outside looking in. There's a lot of people that are hurt. There's people who seem to be fitting in immediately where we struggle. We struggle to fit in. We come to church and we kind of sit. We feel alone. But we do struggle to fit in. And we know the world takes advantage of us. But do we take advantage of each other here in this church? within the Christian faith? How much advantage do we take of each other? We have expectations on people in positions. And if they don't meet our expectations, what do? Many people have been hurt in churches as much as they have in the outside world. The big thing here now is, as the father came out and the older son, other son, lashed out at him, we need to listen. We need to understand each other. There is a thing in this church which is great. We have become a family. Truly a family. We celebrate. We cry. We hug. We appreciate each other. But we still need to listen and look around us. When Lainey got up this morning and said, "Good morning, why don't we greet each other?" I thought of saying, "Okay, now that you're all up, take your hock and pock and move to the other side. Get a different perspective." We get caught up in routines. We get caught up in seeing what we want to see. The older son saw what he wanted to see. He saw the hurt. He saw the pain. He also saw that his father came out to see him. And that he could vent. That he could lash out at times. And that as a church we have to be able to accept. We have to be able to accept anger. We have to be able to accept the feelings of hurt. And we have to acknowledge it and accept it. It's like Christ. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He did for us that no one else could do. He died. He rose. And he loves us. Thank you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
To number 84, we're going to sing verse 1, 3, and 6 as soon as we've done the benediction. Please stand. Let the majesty of the Father be the light by which you walk. The compassion of the Son be the love by which you walk. The presence of the Spirit be the power by which you walk. May the peace of God reign in this place and in our hearts. And the love of God forever hold you tight. May the Spirit of God flow through your life, and the joy of God uphold you day and night. Amen.